Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and welcome to the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. This is a space for down-to-earth, honest conversations about what's really going on in your body in your 40s and how to support yourself through it. If you're feeling a bit out of sync, overwhelmed, or just not quite like yourself, you're in the right place. So let's get into today's episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode, another week with me, your host, Francesca. So today I want to do something a little bit different. Rather than teaching you a lot of physiology or diving straight into an episode about hormones and perimenopause, I want you to imagine that you're sitting opposite me in my one-to-one practice. So you've booked an appointment because something doesn't feel right anymore. You sit down, you take a deep breath, and you say, Francesca, I just don't feel like myself anymore. And I hear this almost every single week when I speak to a new client. So you tell me you're exhausted, even though you're trying to look after yourself, you feel like you're doing all the right things. You're lying awake maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, staring at the ceiling, wondering why your brain just suddenly won't switch off, why you've just woken up and you know, the brain is just going like 100 miles an hour, like it's 7 a.m., but it's still the middle of the night and you want to go back to sleep. You've become more anxious than you've ever felt before. Your confidence maybe has taken a knock and you just can't pinpoint why or when. You feel overwhelmed by things that you used to cope really well with. You forget your words. You know what you're trying to say, but you just can't get that word out. You forget names. You walk into a room, you completely forget why you went in there. If you're like me, you walk into the supermarket and you forget what you walked in for. You know, you needed one thing. As soon as you walk in, it's gone. Perhaps you started gaining weight around your middle, despite eating much the same as you always have and doing all the same things that you used to do. Maybe your patience feels shorter, you're feeling less tolerant, more irritable, your motivation's just disappeared each day. You just wonder what you're going to wake up with that day. You don't, you know, every day is different now. And underneath all of this, there's that one question, which is, what is happening to me? Sometimes it's followed by another question. Is this just my hormones? Is this just what happens when we're in this phase that we now know and everyone talks about as being perimenopausal? And my answer is usually, yes, it's to do with your hormones, but it's also much more than that. Because while perimenopause is absolutely a hormonal transition, it's changes to our hormones, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that it's only about hormones, or more specifically, that it's only about estrogen and progesterone. So today I want to help you understand why that's such an oversimplification. Because once you understand what's really happening inside your body, a lot of the confusing symptoms suddenly start to make sense. And what's probably even more important is that you stop feeling like your body is failing you, or, you know, things are changing and going downhill, and this is just the way it is now. So when we hear about the word, when we hear the word perimenopause, most of us straight away start to think about estrogen and progesterone, the hormones that our ovaries make in our, you know, in our menstrual cycling years. We think about periods becoming irregular or skipping periods. We might think about hot flushes. We might think about night sweats. And yet all of these are part of the picture, absolutely, but they're not the whole picture at all. And I usually describe perimenopause as a whole body transition. Because that is what it is. When progesterone and estrogen start to change, they don't just do that in isolation. There's so much that creates, so much of a ripple effect that creates. The change in estrogen, the decline in progesterone, that sends these kind of rippling shifts through almost every other system in your body. I've talked about this before. I've talked about it on multiple previous episodes, but it's something that I can't talk about enough because I just still see so much on particularly Instagram about HRT being the, you know, the sort of one and only, this kind of panacea. And whilst I completely support hormone therapy, and it's something I use myself. I've talked about that before as well, and swear by for my own journey. But there is so much more that's changing, and there's so much more that we need to be supporting. And whilst we can also support the decline in estrogen and progesterone when needed, there is so much more that's also happening. Your nervous system changes, your stress response changes, your resilience, your tolerance changes, your sleep changes, your metabolism changes, the way you regulate blood sugar changes, your muscles become a little less responsive, your brain responds differently to stress, even your immune system and your inflammatory pathways, your ability to regulate inflammation in the body can start to change. It's a little bit like throwing a pebble into a pond. So the pebble itself is quite small, but now the ripples travel far beyond where it landed. So suddenly this calm pond is now getting pebbles thrown in. And although they're very small, they are just creating this ripple effect throughout the whole pond and all the different elements of the pond. And that's exactly what's happening during perimenopause. The hormonal changes of the pebble, but the ripple effects of that throwing of the pebble creates is what you're actually feeling and experiencing every day. And I hear this all the time as well, but I used to cope. But and I say this myself, I used to cope. I used to be able to handle XYZ without experiencing XYZ as a result. Or I don't understand what's happening to me. I used to cope. I just don't understand why now. All of a sudden, what feels like all of a sudden, I have, you know, I'm just don't have the ability to handle these things or the resilience to handle these things. And it's really insightful when women do say this to me, because a lot of women often start to think that they're becoming weaker. I certainly did for a while, thinking, what is going on? Am I just change, you know, things just am I sort of weakening so much that I won't be able to continue living the life the way I want to live it or achieving the things I want to achieve in my career or whatever else? Am I becoming less resilient, less capable? But that's not what's happening, although it can feel that way. But what I really want you to imagine is you're carrying a backpack, right? So throughout your 20s and 30s, you've got this backpack on. But as you move through your 30s and move out of your 20s into your 30s and through your 30s, you've gradually added things into that same backpack. So a more demanding career, maybe children, aging parents, everyone's parents are getting older, right? Potentially relationship pressures, financial pressures, more financial responsibilities, more responsibilities, full stop, busier mornings, fitting more into your day. Later nights, occasionally skipping meals, don't have enough time, didn't get to it, not enough breaks, not enough holidays, not enough downtime, years of putting yourself last, and that just becoming more and more as you get older. And you've been carrying that backpack for years. Your body has been so adaptable that this whole time it's just been like, okay, just adapting to this new load that's going in gradually, gradually, gradually over time, over time. And then somewhere in your early 40s or maybe even your late 30s, which is when we start to move into perimenopause, without you even noticing, someone then places a few extra bricks into that backpack. Just enough new weight that the exact same life suddenly feels much heavier. The stressful week that you would have bounced back from 5 years ago now leaves you exhausted for days. The busier weekend that you would have been absolutely fine recovering from is now, it hits you like a ton of bricks until midweek. One bad night's sleep starts to affect you for the whole week, or one night's bad sleep in the past may have affected you the next day in terms of maybe energy levels, but now that's starting to affect your mood quite significantly. Maybe your appetite, your ability to work out, your ability to recover, all of these different extra things are now being affected by that one night's bad sleep. Missing lunch suddenly makes you feel anxious, shaky, irritable, full of rage. The workout you always enjoyed or could handle now seems to just wipe you out rather than energize you. You're thinking, can I even work out anymore? This is crazy. The glass or two of wine that never used to bother you now starts to leave you feeling dreadful, really, really awful for days afterwards. And you're thinking, but I used to drink so much more than this and feel fine. It's not that you've suddenly become incapable. It's that your body's capacity to absorb and sort of tolerate stress has started to change. Resiliency has started to change. And I think that's one of the most compassionate ways of understanding perimenopause, not seeing it as something that's causing you to start sort of failing and breaking, if you like. I hear a lot of women say, I just feel broken. But seeing it as a stage of life where your body's now asking for something different. But unless we can see that message, unless that's the message that we take from it, we will just continue to push and push and push and get angry as to why our body is just not responding in the same way anymore and why everything just feels so much harder. And we'll continue to work against what our body's actually asking us for. And we end up having a worse time. We end up having a much worse time of it. We end up having a much harder experience when we actually get to menopause itself. And it doesn't have to be that way if we can listen to what our body's trying to communicate to us now and understand that it's asking for something different. But our body isn't working against us. It's not, you know, that it's never working against us. It's trying to communicate. And I think that is a really important and helpful mindset shift. For a lot of women, the penny drops when they start to kind of see this and think about it like that. And they say, okay, so what is being communicated and what should I, you know, how can I interpret this and how can I support it? That's when things start to shift for people in a much more positive way. So a lot of women arrive here sort of feeling that their body's turned against them. You know, we get to our 40s and we're like, there's all, you know, I say it all the time, there's some really funny stuff online, really funny Instagram accounts that I follow. I share their posts and things on Instagram. They're very funny. Because they help, you know, it's just sort of making fun of certain symptoms and experiences, and we can and should laugh about a lot of it, but at the same time, all that really does is gives us a laugh for a minute, but it doesn't empower us to actually understand what those symptoms are trying to tell us and then know where to go to, you know, what to do in terms of trying to support ourselves with what it's trying to ask for. So we end up having a laugh about it, but we're all having a laugh about how our bodies have turned against us. They're letting us down, they're betraying us. And I just really don't see it that way. I do find these things quite funny. You know, I have my days, my really bad days with brain fog and forgetting words, and I'm, you know, trying to present something. I do some corporate presentations, and it's not helpful on those days to just forget a word. And it's good to make light of it and it's good to have a laugh with it. But I really don't see it as my body's breaking, my body's failing. You know, I'm going through this awful phase and I'm just a mess now. I do think and know that the body is incredibly clever. Your symptoms aren't your sort of body, you know, trying to punish you or us moving through this hormonal phase and just having to deal with it, because that's what happens as us women, you know, we go through all these hormonal shifts and we just have to grin and bear it. And yeah, whilst we do go through all these hormonal shifts that can be really rocky and really challenging, we don't have to just grin and bear it. Our body is so clever. It is trying to communicate with us. It's giving us feedback. All of these symptoms, all of these experiences, they're all giving us feedback. All of the physical changes, whether that's increased belly fat, whatever it might be, it's all feedback, you know, struggling to recover from, whether it's a day out, whether it's a workout, whatever it might be, it's all feedback. It's our body trying to tell us that the strategies or the things that perhaps worked for us for years are no longer the ones that our body needs or is benefiting from. You know, maybe for years you've been surviving on coffee and adrenaline in the mornings instead of any breakfast, particularly a protein breakfast. And I hear that all the time. I'll say to people, do you have breakfast? Do you eat protein at breakfast? Oh, I've never had breakfast though. I've always been fine. It doesn't mean you're okay now to go that, to continue that way. We are so resilient to a point. The body is amazing. It's a machine. It's so amazing, but up to a point. Maybe you've spent decades putting everyone's needs before your own, family, children, you know, maybe you started having children at a younger age, and you have just spent all of the last kind of couple of decades just putting everyone's needs before your own. Or maybe you're a, you know, chronic people pleaser where everybody's needs, wants is just more important than yours, and you've never honored, you know, is it a true yes that I'm giving here, or is it just because I want to please everybody? Do I do all the things I do in my career, in my work, in my home life, in my relationships to please other people? Or is any of it actually coming from me wanting to do these things? That gets to a point as well where the stress response, your nervous system can't take any more of that. Maybe you've normalized poor sleep. I hear this all the time as well. Oh, but I've always survived on 5 hours sleep. Why should it be any different now? That's not the thing that's causing my, you know, whatever symptoms it might be. It can't be because I've always had no sleep. It doesn't mean that it's okay to keep going that way. Maybe stress has become your default setting, and we're not actually realizing that we've actually been in this state for so many years, but we, you know, there gets to a point where the nervous system just can't keep going like that. Maybe you've skipped meals because you've always been busy. So again, I hear this all the time, but I've always skipped lunch. That can't be the reason, or, you know, that can't be anything to address because I've always done that and I've always been fine. I've always skipped breakfast, or I've always skipped lunch, or I've always done a workout on an empty stomach and not refueled for hours afterwards, and I've always been fine. Maybe you've pushed through exhaustion because that's what you've always done. You've never really honored the fact that you might need a rest day or a rest hour, or, you know, to kind of recover from exertion. Your body has just over the years become quite possibly just become incredibly accommodating for all the sort of additional pressure and the pressure full stop, and then the additional pressure over the years that's come on until now. So what perimenopause tends to do is come along and remove the buffer. So where we had more supportive hormone levels and less erratic estrogen before we move into perimenopause, those things, good levels of estrogen, good levels of progesterone, estrogen that isn't erratic, it's not fluctuating wildly, that is a buffer. That allows us a certain level of resilience. It allows our nervous system a certain level of resilience, but also things like metabolism, immune health, bone strength, muscle mass, all of these different areas of our health, inflammation, they have this buffer that healthy, robust levels of estrogen and progesterone fluctuating in a healthy way can provide us. But when we move into perimenopause, that buffer starts to fall away. So perimenopause can kind of shine a spotlight on the things your body has been, you know, under the hood, been in the background compensating for over many years, decades. And although moving into perimenopause and starting to experience these changes and experiences, although that can feel really frustrating and, like, you know, obviously it's annoying, but it's more than annoying, it's frustrating, it can be really upsetting. It can also become an invitation for us to start supporting our body differently, to start listening to what the feedback our body is trying to communicate to us, and then sit back and say, okay, what do I need to be doing differently? And not being so sure or assuming that just because we were doing X, Y, Z all this time, that it will still be okay and that we can still be doing it and it still works. That's usually the biggest place where I see I need to sort of coach women around, where they need to start seeing that just because they used to do these things or not do these things before, it doesn't mean it's going to be okay now. I even had a conversation with somebody this morning, and I said, you know, she said she was feeling this new brain fog and just feeling really awful lately. And she'd also just been to the gym and it was like 11 o'clock. And she said she hadn't eaten anything yet. I said, well, you've not had anything at all. She said, no, but I never have breakfast. And I always go to the gym like mid-morning and I don't really have anything to eat until lunch. She's always done that, so it's okay. But now is a time in her life where that will not be it was never working for us, but quietly in the background under the hood, we were getting away with it because we didn't, you know, it wasn't shouting. The body wasn't shouting as loudly as it starts to shout as we actually move into perimenopause. That's when it starts to actually shout at us and say, look, you can't be doing this anymore. I need to eat a protein breakfast within an hour of waking up before I go to the gym. And after the gym, I also need some recovery fuel at that point as well, because I can't survive. My, you know, nervous system, your hormones, they just can't manage like that anymore. So that's just definitely the biggest point that I want to drive home, I suppose, in today's episode. And one of the things that confuses women a lot is just how quickly everything can seem to change. You wake up, for some women it can feel like you wake up one day and you think, where has this anxiety come from? Or, I've never struggled with sleep before. Why am I suddenly struggling with sleep? What's changed? I've never had brain fog. That was my thing. I've never had brain fog. I've never had trouble recalling a word. I have never walked into a room and forgotten what I've walked in for. I've never forgotten somebody's name. I've always been someone really, like friends and family know me well as the person who remembers the most random things that no one else remembers. Birthdays, people's names, just, you know, all these things that you wouldn't necessarily remember. So when these sorts of symptoms can hit you, if you're someone who's never had sleep issues, you know, I've always been known as someone who sleeps like a log, and then suddenly I'm having sleep issues, or suddenly, like me, I'm having brain fog, it can feel really not just like, now I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. It can feel really unsettling. Like, I was thinking, how am I supposed to cope with this? I do not like being now just not remember. Like, walking, the first time I walked into a supermarket, I popped out because I needed something. Let's say it was mince or beef mince or something. We were doing some food and I forgot that we didn't have any. Popped out to the supermarket to get it. By the time I got to the supermarket, I walked in and literally had absolutely no idea why I was there. That's the sort of thing that's never happened to me. I've got friends who say, oh, you know, I've suspected ADHD for years, for example, and that sort of thing's always happened to me. I've been like that my whole life. So they're not as unsettled by these symptoms coming up for them. But if you're someone who's, I mean, they can be unsettling anyway, of course, but if you're, you know, someone who's never had anxiety, never had sleep issues, never had brain fog, random things like this, and then suddenly it's starting for you, it's really, really worrying for some. You might be saying, I've never carried weight before, extra weight, particularly around my middle, never ever been that person, and now suddenly I'm that person and I cannot shift it and I've not changed anything and I don't know why it's there. And it's always really tempting to assume there's one explanation, which is that it's your hormones. And of course, that's what we see online every day. You know, this, it's all out there. Hormones, 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 hormones. And it is. That's what I specialize in. Women's health, hormonal health is what I know so much about and what I teach so much about. But here's what I'd say if you were sitting opposite me. I'd say your hormones are absolutely part of the story. Of course they are, but they're not going to be the whole story, because declining progesterone and erratically fluctuating estrogen don't just create symptoms directly, they also influence how your body responds to everything else. They influence your entire, all your systems are influenced by declining progesterone and fluctuating estrogen. Think about your nervous system. In your younger years, 20s, earlier 30s, perhaps you could get away with a stressful week at work, a couple of nights poor sleep, skipping meals, staying up really late Friday night, Saturday night, drinking a lot, maybe both those nights or one of those nights, too much caffeine, busy weekends. Your body absorbed it. Your nervous system absorbed it. Now those same stressors, because they are all stressors, create a much bigger ripple throughout your entire system. Not because you're like you're weakening, or, you know, your body is failing as you get older, but because your physiology has now changed. When we step into perimenopause, physiology shifts. Perimenopause creates the biggest physiological shift in the body. It starts to usually make us more sensitive to stress, not just physically, but also emotionally. And that is the really important distinction, because when I say stress, I'm not just talking about the stress that we might, you know, the obvious stresses like worrying about things, or maybe having financial stresses, or losing a job, or breaking up from a relationship, moving house. These are like really obvious stresses. We all know that these are stressful situations, stressful things. But I'm not just talking about those sorts of stresses. Your body doesn't separate stress into like these sort of neat little categories that we do in our brain. To your physiology, poor sleep is stress. One night of poor sleep is stress. Swinging blood sugar is stress. So when we're not eating enough in the way of protein, and we're not eating sort of regularly in a way that's helping to keep our blood sugar levels stable, that is a stress. Eating too much, you know, foods that swing our blood sugar as well, that's a stressor. Inflammation is stress. Overtraining, over-exercising for you, for whatever your unique tolerance is at that particular time in your life. Overdoing the intensity, that's a stressor. Under-eating is a stressor. Being under-fed, under-caloried, under-fat, under-protein, these are all stressors. Bereavement is stress. I think we all know that. You know, relationship difficulties, whether that's friendships, romantic partners, loved ones, family, obviously financial uncertainty, chronic pain, even nutrient deficiencies are a form of physiological stress. The body is picking up on, you know, not having enough, for example, B12 and iron in the system. These can be stresses as well physiologically. Any infections, any gut infections, any imbalances in gut bacteria, all of this is a physiological stress. And your body asks one question, quite simply. It's looking at how much load I'm carrying in all these, you know. It's not saying, oh, that's okay, that's just work stress, so we don't worry about that. Oh, that's okay, she's just got swinging blood sugar, let's not worry about that. Your body is looking at all of it as one big load. And during perimenopause, that capacity to carry that load often reduces. It does reduce. That's like, as I explained earlier with the backpack. We moving into perimenopause, it's like a few extra bricks just get put into that bag. And not only that, but we also have the fact that the change in those hormones does reduce our capacity to carry a load that's now also got bigger, and our capacity for it is getting smaller. Which is why a lot of women will tell me, I don't recognize myself anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. I'm doing things, feeling things that isn't me. And I definitely resonate with this completely. And so I always reassure them, you're still you. The real you is still there. Your body is simply giving you feedback and asking for a different way of being supported. It's usually around that point in the consultation that the person sitting opposite me will say something like, the thing that's really worrying me is that I'm just so tired all the time. I'm so exhausted all the time. Or I can cope with the hot flushes, but I can't cope with feeling exhausted anymore. And I completely understand that, because I completely resonate. I've felt the same. Tiredness isn't just feeling sleepy. The exhaustion that a woman in perimenopause tends to talk about isn't just, oh, I feel a bit sleepy, I might just go and have a little lie down. It's waking up in the morning already feeling like your battery is only half charged. I wake up some mornings and the word that comes to mind instantly is, I'm so drained. I've just woken up. I've had a really good sleep and already I feel like my battery's drained. It's feeling like you need to push through every single day, regardless of feeling drained, like your battery's only half or a quarter charged. You still have to push through. You can't just not turn up, not do the things. You have to get up and you have to push through. It's losing the motivation to do the things that you used to enjoy, because you're always so bloody exhausted. You don't want to do anything anymore, unless it's something you feel you have to do. It's feeling guilty because you don't have the energy for your family, your friends, or yourself, for your partner. And this is where I think it's so important that we zoom out, because yes, absolutely, fluctuating estrogen, declining progesterone, declining estrogen, if that's where you're at in your stage of perimenopause, can absolutely contribute to fatigue. But fatigue itself is rarely caused by one thing. We can't just blame it on hormones. Think about everything we've already spoken about. If your sleep isn't as restorative because progesterone is declining, if you're waking in the night because your nervous system has become more sensitive now that you're in this phase, if your blood sugar is fluctuating more than it used to, because that's another thing that becomes more sensitive. Our ability to manage our blood sugar changes. If you've spent years running on adrenaline instead of actual fuel, If your iron stores, that would be your ferritin level, if you had that checked, are low because you've had years of heavy periods, or maybe, and on top of that, years of not eating enough heme iron, activated iron foods, or there's something changing in your digestive health where you're not actually absorbing iron from your foods anymore, all of that combined, you may now have low ferritin. If your thyroid isn't functioning optimally, which is something very common as we move into our 40s as well, if you've been carrying a huge mental load for years, which so many of us have, can you see how all those things begin to layer on top of each other? So it's rarely one domino. It's usually lots of little dominoes all just toppling. And that's why I never want to leave. I'd never want a woman to leave my practice thinking it's just my hormones. Because if we only look at hormones, then we do miss so many opportunities to help ourselves feel better. Then we only look at hormones. Then we only look at HRT, which, as I said, I'm all for, I'm using myself, but that's not the only piece of the puzzle at all. So another change that is probably one of the biggest changes I hear a lot of women talk about as well is anxiety. I've never been an anxious person before. I feel on edge all the time. I've lost my confidence. I feel overwhelmed by everything, or I get emotional about everything, or most days I walk around feeling anxious and worried, and I don't know why. As far as I know, there's nothing to be anxious about in this moment, in this day, in this phase of my life, but I just feel anxious, and I've never been an anxious person. I hear that all the time. Again, I resonate with it myself. And I just want to reassure you that it is common. It doesn't mean it's okay and that it's normal, but it is common. You're definitely not the only one. And one of the reasons is that progesterone, that's the hormone that starts to decline first in the earlier stages of perimenopause. So that could be late 30s, early 40s. Progesterone's decline has such a big effect on our brain, on the calming nature of our brain, because it is a really calming hormone on the brain. It's sometimes described as nature's calming hormone, also nature's natural antidepressant. So when progesterone starts to decline, a lot of women start to notice that they just don't feel as emotionally resilient or buffered as they once did. And at the same time, fluctuating estrogen, and maybe it's also already declining for you as well, but it's definitely starting to fluctuate as we move into perimenopause, that starts to influence neurotransmitters like serotonin, so brain chemicals, serotonin, dopamine. They affect mood, motivation, emotional well-being. And the sharp sort of drops of estrogen that we can have in this fluctuation of it, this roller coaster nature of estrogen, can lead to a drop then, or a significant change in serotonin and dopamine levels. But, and this is really an important but, those hormonal changes are only part of the story. So remember, we talked about the backpack. If your body's capacity to cope with stress is reduced over the years, which it will have, then all of life's normal pressures will suddenly feel much bigger. They'll feel much louder. They'll be shouting much louder to you. So the school run that was always okay can now suddenly be really overwhelming and really stressful. Work deadlines, caring for aging parents, or worrying about aging parents, being on the other end of the phone often to support aging parents or other family members. Maybe it's teenagers, younger children, older children, relationship challenges, financial pressures, even constantly rushing from one thing to the next, which we were all so good at back in the day. And now suddenly that can feel and be really exhausting and overwhelming. None of those things might have changed, but our ability to absorb them, deal with them, process them has. And it's almost as though the volume gets turned up on all of these things that were just pretty much normal, part of day-to-day life. Now they are shouting, the volume is much higher, and we're more overwhelmed and more exhausted by them. And this is why I think perimenopause shines a spotlight on the way we've been living for years. And I've done previous episodes on perimenopause being like a magnifying glass, showing up what we've always been doing for years, but where it's out of alignment. And so I think that's a really powerful episode to listen to, actually, if you haven't. I can link to it in the show notes. And it's not to blame us. It's not to make us feel guilty like we've been doing anything wrong at all. It's just to remind us that sometimes we have to look at the way we're living and see, does it still serve us? It may have been okay in the past, but that doesn't mean it has to continue to be okay. And that's where, like I say, perimenopause is this magnifying glass. It shines a light on the areas of our life where certain things, just certain aspects of it, just aren't serving us anymore. Which brings me to sleep. Sleep is one of the very first things a lot of women notice changing. I said anxiety is also one of the first things, and so is sleep. And again, this can come back to low progesterone, because that's the hormone that starts to decline quite early on, before, usually before any changes to estrogen even start. So perhaps you can fall asleep perfectly well, but you wake up around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you can't get back to sleep, or it takes ages to get back to sleep. Maybe your brain just won't switch off when your head hits the pillow as well. So maybe you don't, maybe you are someone who falls asleep and but just wakes up in the middle of the night, or maybe you're someone who just cannot get to sleep at all. So you hit, your head hits the pillow and you're just lying there, brain just won't switch off. Or like me, maybe you sleep all night, but you wake up feeling you haven't slept at all. You just wake up some mornings, like I said, feeling completely drained. Like I just, as far as I'm aware, I've just slept for seven and a half hours straight, but I feel completely drained. Like I just wish I could plug myself in and just charge myself up before I have a shower. And again, it is tempting to blame one thing. Oh, it's got to be low progesterone. If I start progesterone, this will change. And yes, sometimes progesterone is, of course, part of the picture. It's definitely, I've talked about this so many times and I stand by it. And maybe improving our own natural progesterone levels that we, if we're still able to make it because we're still ovulating, or speaking to a doctor about using body identical progesterone, maybe that does change the game. And it does for many women, but it will still not, it will still only be part of the picture. And sleep is a really perfect example of why perimenopause isn't just about hormones. So think about what has to happen for us to sleep well. Our brain needs to feel safe enough to switch off. Our nervous system needs to move into a state of rest. Our circadian rhythm, our body's internal clock, it needs to be working with us. Stress hormones need to naturally fall in the evening, as during the evening, as the evening progresses. So that's cortisol essentially. And then melatonin needs to rise in its place, and vice versa in the morning. Blood sugar needs to remain stable throughout the night. If we have blood sugar dips in the night, we tend to be woken up, usually around 2 or 3 a.m. And then along comes perimenopause. Progesterone starts to decline, stress tolerance changes. Perhaps you've developed more anxiety, as we just talked about, and maybe you're waking with night sweats. Maybe you're worried about aging parents or teenage children in the middle of the night. Maybe work has become more demanding. Suddenly, all of those pieces become a little less stable. So, can you see why I don't like reducing problems to simply, that's just low progesterone, get progesterone and you'll be fine. That's low estrogen or fluctuating estrogen, sort that out and you'll be fine. It is much more nuanced than that. And the wonderful thing is that so many of these pieces are things that we can influence. We can support and influence our circadian rhythm with some really simple habits. We can reduce unnecessary stimulation in the evenings. We can nourish, support our nervous systems through the day. We can, which has a knock-on effect to the evening. We can improve blood sugar stability. We can build habits that tell the brain it's safe to rest now. And that's really empowering that we know these, that we know we can do that. So I'm going to tell you about someone I'll call Sophie. I think I've spoken about Sophie, that's not her real name, but I've spoken about her in previous episodes because it's a great example. But Sophie was in her early 40s when she came to see me. She described herself as feeling like she'd completely fallen apart. She was exhausted. I just don't know myself anymore. I'm anxious. I'm tearful. I can't sleep. She was gaining weight around her middle, and that was really frustrating her because she'd always been someone who, as far as she's concerned, eats well, exercises well, and hadn't changed anything. Her confidence had disappeared. And naturally she began to wonder, do I need hormone replacement therapy? Do I need hormone therapy? So hormone replacement therapy really does apply post-menopause when we've actually lost both hormones. Hormone therapy would be what we would say kind of before menopause itself, because we still have those hormones. We just maybe topping them up a little bit, giving them some support if we are going to use hormone therapy at that point. Anyway, that's just a side note. So yes, she started to wonder, do I need hormone therapy? But before I go any further, I just want to say something really important as well. Hormone therapy can be life-changing. As I said, I've seen it transform women's lives. I use it. As I said, I've done a previous episode about my own journey with it. I started using estrogen and progesterone just over a year ago now. So I'm not against hormone therapy at all. For many women, it's a fantastic option. But what I want people to understand is that it isn't just one thing or the other. It's not just, oh, this is happening to me, I must need hormone therapy, let me just go and sort that. Or the other end of the spectrum, which is, I don't want to use hormone therapy, so I'm going to speak to a natural practitioner. You know, I'm going to speak to a nutritional therapist or a naturopath, for example. It's both. It really is. Like, it doesn't have to be hormone therapy if someone really doesn't want it to be, or they're not a good candidate for it for various reasons. But it's not one or the other. It's definitely not one or the other. We really do want to understand the bigger picture as we're talking about today, taking that 360 degree view, you know, of supporting all our body systems, supporting our metabolism, our immune health, our bone health, our muscle mass, our nervous system, our sleep, circadian rhythm, looking at how we can help support building muscle, you know, all of these things, all of these different elements of our health need to be supported, whether we're going to be using hormone therapy or not. Okay, so back to Sophie. So we talked not just about her periods, but we talked about her life. You know, I was asking her all the physical stuff. When was your last period? What are they like? How frequent are they? You know, how do you feel in the luteal phase? Trying to get an understanding of whether she's potentially not ovulating anymore or not ovulating very often. Just various, obviously, physical symptoms definitely was we talked about that. But we also talked about her life. We talked about over the previous few years, how she'd experienced a bereavement, a house move, increasing pressure at work, years of putting herself last, two children with neurodivergence that was becoming more and more stressful for them and for herself as they were getting older. She was skipping meals because she was just too busy and too stressed. She was surviving on caffeine and adrenaline. She hadn't exercised in a way that felt nourishing for years. She was just pinching time here and there. And when she could afford time to exercise, she was doing some really intense workouts, classes at her local gym, and feeling absolutely wiped out. She felt guilty when she rested. So can you see what was happening? Her hormones were changing. Absolutely they were, but they weren't changing in isolation. This wasn't just someone who had everything perfectly aligned, a really fantastic, robust system, no stress in her life, was just, you know, blowing, you know, what's those flowers? I can't think of the name, but just, you know, dancing through a little meadow every day. She wasn't living like that. Her hormones weren't just changing. That's it. It's just a hormone change. They were interacting with her life load. They were interacting with a nervous system that had been under enormous pressure for a really long time. Her stress response had become dysregulated before perimenopause. Her sleep was suffering. Her blood sugar was all over the place. She'd stopped listening to the signals her body had been giving her for years. And now, did supporting her hormones matter? Of course it did. We have to support her hormones. Obviously, I'm not a practitioner that can prescribe hormones, but we can still support those hormones. Of course, we can support their, you know, whilst somebody's in perimenopause and they're still able to ovulate, we can still support her body to make estrogen, to make progesterone in as much as we can. So of course we were going to look at all of those things, but it wasn't where we started. We started by helping her body feel safe again, helping her to eat regularly, to support her sleep, helping her understand why she felt permanently wired, even though she was exhausted, wired but tired, reducing some of the unnecessary physiological load she was carrying. And something really amazing started to happen. She stopped seeing herself as this broken, failure, I'm a complete mess. And instead, she started to understand that her body had simply reached a point where it couldn't keep compensating anymore. And I think that's one of the biggest gifts that we can give ourselves during perimenopause. Not another supplement or looking for the most fancy looking supplement we can get on subscription. Not another rule, not another reason, like, you know, to feel like we're failing, but actually understanding and having compassion. Because once you understand why your body's responding the way it is, you stop fighting it and you start saying, how can I work with you instead? So this is usually the point in a consultation where someone smiles and they say, okay, I understand now. That's all great. And I really do genuinely understand it. But what do I actually do? And I completely understand that question, because that's all we want to know, right? Like when we have something to solve, it is great to understand it. Of course it is. But the main thing is always, okay, but what do I do? What do I do now? Understanding it is reassuring. Of course, that's where we can give ourselves compassion, go, okay, and start joining the dots and start to feel a little bit more like love for ourselves. Oh gosh, we really have been holding a lot and carrying a lot, and here we are. But we also want to know how to support ourselves through it. And this is where I want to keep things really simple today. Not because the body is simple, because it absolutely isn't. It's very, very complex. But the way we support it doesn't have to be complex at all. One of the biggest mistakes I see women making is believing that they need 20 different supplements. Or, you know, like I said, the best looking supplement, blend, like a blend of all these different nutrients in one supplement that someone saw on Instagram and said it was going to be amazing. Or they're looking for the perfect exercise routine. They're looking for, or they don't want to have a cupboard full of expensive products, but they think that's the answer. Collagen, you know, all the different supplements that promise to change your life or to completely overhaul their lives overnight. I don't believe that's not what our bodies are asking for. Instead, our bodies are asking for consistency. So they want, first of all, one simple change that allows some element of nourishment, some element of recovery. And then they want that consistently. So that's why almost everything I do with my clients comes back to four simple foundations. I call them my four foundational pillars inside the Midlife Thrive membership. Not because they're fancy or anything or complex. They are the things that influence almost everything else, these four foundational pillars. The first one is blood sugar balance. Blood sugar isn't just about, you know, doesn't just apply to people with diabetes or risk of diabetes at all, or anyone who's overweight. Blood sugar is about energy, mood, cravings, sleep, resilience, hormone balance, hormone health, hormone production, brain function, immunity. The more stable your blood sugar is throughout the day, the safer your brain feels, the safer your physiology generally feels, the less your body needs to rely on stress hormones to keep you going, the less chances of you being woken up in the middle of the night because your blood sugar has dropped. One of the kindest things you can do for your body during perimenopause is simply to eat enough, to eat regularly. That doesn't mean like five or six small meals through the day, but by regularly, I mean three square meals, three balanced meals, maybe a snack in between lunch and dinner, for example, if that gap is going to be too long, which it is for most of us. But essentially three balanced meals with plenty of protein, starting at breakfast within an hour of waking up, with healthy fats, with fiber-rich carbohydrates, the slow-release carbohydrates that actually give us fiber and nutrients, and plenty of plants, different colors, types of vegetables, berries, and so on. Rather than surviving on coffee until lunchtime, wondering why you're exhausted by 3 o'clock and craving the muffin or the donut or whatever it might be, it's amazing how often women tell me that they didn't realize how little they were actually eating. Or they thought, even if it was an accidental thing that they were eating so little, they would have thought, oh, it's a good thing anyway, surely, to keep my weight under control or to lose weight. They'll say that they thought skipping meals was helping their weight, but actually it's making their physiology just work harder and harder. And eventually that all catches up. That's where midsection weight gain starts to creep on while your body's working so hard to deal with the lack of nutrition, essentially, the lack of calories. which is energy. And this just really backfires. And then blood sugar can go awry during perimenopause, and all of those symptoms involved with, you know, like I said, energy, mood, cravings, sleep, brain function can just be so much worse, including brain fog, including hot flushes as well. The second foundation is sleep. So this isn't about chasing perfect sleep, suddenly, you know, doing all these things, changing all these things overnight, and then being able to get 8 hours of perfect sleep every night. It's simply about supporting sleep. There is a difference. Sleep isn't something that we can force, although we might feel that we can and should. It's something we prepare our body for. So the quality of us, of our sleep tonight actually started this morning. It starts with daylight first thing, you know, as early as we can, as soon as we can after waking, hopefully within an hour, in about half an hour or so of waking up, getting some natural daylight, even if it's just getting by a window, sticking our head kind of quite near the open window, even better getting outdoors. It starts with movement, gentle. That doesn't have to be a huge workout, but just some gentle movement. It could be a walk. It could be some stretching. It could be some gentle yoga. It could be some Tai Chi, Qigong, just any kind of movement. Regular meals, like I said, that protein-rich breakfast within an hour of waking, and then the same at lunch, dinner, if we need a snack between them, or a mini meal between lunch and dinner. Again, always having protein, good fats, fiber-rich carbohydrates, plenty of plants. It's about managing stress throughout the day rather than just trying to push through. Is there 5 minutes that we can just take to create a moment of calm instead of rushing from one thing to the next? Where can we just take five and just breathe, just be, put your phone down, shut your eyes, or, you know, just if you can't shut your eyes, just breathe, just take some deep breaths. Can you look at some nature? Just take yourself out for a few minutes. It starts with telling your nervous system you're safe, because, and you know, we can't just do this. We need to, these things I've just mentioned help to tell our nervous system that we're safe. Taking 5 minutes of calm, regular meals, gentle movement, starting the day with daylight. These things tell our nervous system that we're safe, because a brain that feels safe then sleeps. It's more likely to sleep. A brain that feels under threat, because it's trying to balance blood sugar all day, it's not getting any movement, it's not having regular meals, it's skipping breakfast, it's skipping lunch, it's just moving from one thing to the next all day long, stress. That brain feels under threat, and that brain wants to stay alert all the time. So that brain is not going to wind down for a good night's sleep at night. And remember, your body doesn't know the difference between a tiger that was chasing us. You know, that's what we're sort of wired to as a stress response. We're wired to, for the fight or flight response. All those years ago, it could have been that a tiger was chasing us and we had to run for our life while we were out foraging for food. And now those stressors that we're running away from, or that our nervous system thinks we're running away from, is checking work emails at 10 o'clock at night, having bright lights on at 10 o'clock at night, checking WhatsApps, looking in WhatsApp groups that are stressing you out, what family stuff, kids, whatever it might be. To your nervous system, stress is stress. It doesn't know the difference. It's not going to say, oh, that's okay, it's just her boss, or that's okay, it's just her teenager who's not home on time. Stress is stress, and it sees it all, you know, feels it all as a threat. Foundation number three is stress resilience. So I deliberately don't call this stress management, because to be, you know, let's be completely honest, most of us can't remove all of our stress. Of course we can't. Life is life. Modern day life is lifing all the time. Jobs, career, children, relationships, parents, money, unexpected challenges coming at us all the time. None of those things can or will ever disappear. So instead, I ask things like, how can we become more resilient to the stress that already exists? Sometimes that's about creating better boundaries. Sometimes it's about asking for help. Sometimes it's taking 10 minutes to sit in the garden with a cup of tea. Sometimes it's strength training. Sometimes it's breathing. Sometimes it's saying no instead of yes all the time. Sometimes it's finally giving ourselves permission to rest without feeling guilty, to stop, even though we haven't necessarily worked as hard, in inverted commas, as we feel we should have to earn the rest. And I think that's one of the hardest lessons for a lot of women. We've become so good at looking after everyone else, putting everyone else first, people pleasing, that we've forgotten how to please ourselves, how to look after ourselves. And as I said, perimenopause shines a light on that. to remind us now, this is the time in our life where we need to start taking that back for ourselves. So it can be a really empowering decade, and it should be if we can see it that way. And so the fourth foundation is movement, not exercise as punishment, not going to the gym and doing these really crazy high intensity workouts to punish ourselves for eating more food yesterday than we should have, or eating more sugar, whatever, or punish the weight off. It's movement, seeing movement and experiencing movement as nourishment. Our bodies are designed to move. They're not designed to just burn calories, not to earn food. To earn food or to shrink ourselves. But because movement helps every system in the body work better. Movement, particularly lifting weights, building muscle, improves insulin sensitivity, which is how basically helping us to manage blood sugar much better. It supports building muscle. It supports bone health. It supports bone density, but it also helps to encase our bones in muscle, which is protective. It improves our mood. It improves our sleep. Increases feel-good brain chemicals. It helps to build confidence, helps improve motivation. It helps regulate our nervous system. And perhaps most importantly, it reminds us what our bodies are capable of. One of the biggest mindset shifts I'd love every woman to make during perimenopause is moving away from asking, how can I burn more calories today? And instead asking, how can I build a stronger body for the next 40 years? How can I build some muscle today? How can I get strong today? Because that's really what we're doing. We're not just trying to manage symptoms. We're trying to, or hopefully I'm inviting you to, invest in your future health, your health now, but also your future health. And just looking at burning calories and doing some crazy intense workout for 45 minutes isn't investing in our future health. Whereas going to do a, slow controlled heavy weightlifting session, heavy relative to you, not heavy, someone else's heavy, that is how we're investing in our future health. So what I really love about these four foundations is that they don't just work on their own. Obviously, we can start with just one foundation at a time, but they all work together. When you improve your sleep, you generally start to improve your blood sugar control in the body. Your ability to control your blood sugar improves. Your energy improves. Your mood improves. When your energy and mood improves, you're more likely to want to move more. When you move more, you're often going to start sleeping better. Everything is connected. And that's exactly why I wanted to record this episode, because I think we've become so used to separating the body into little boxes: hormones, sleep, mood, weight, energy, gut health, thyroid health, all these separate boxes that we can work on. The body doesn't work like that. It's one beautifully connected system, amazing connected system. And perimenopause is one of the biggest reminders of that. It's a whole body shift. So if you've listened to nothing else today, you've listened to me yabbering on to this point, I really hope you'll remember that perimenopause is not simply a hormone change or deficiency, because we do start to, it does start to, progesterone starts to decline, estrogen eventually starts to decline just before we get to menopause itself. It's not just this hormone change. It's a whole body transition. It's your physiology adapting to a new season of life. Whilst that transition can feel really unsettling, as we've mentioned already, it can also become an invitation to make changes, to listen, to slow down a little bit and listen. What is my body? What is the feedback my body's trying to give me? And how can I nourish myself? How can I start with one thing that's nourishing and then become consistent with that to help me build strength, to protect my sleep, to stop, to help support my nervous system. And for us to change that mindset where some of us are still wearing exhaustion and pushing through as a badge of honor. It's all right for you. I've got to do X, Y, Z. And then you just sort of keep doing it almost like martyring a little bit. And so we want to kind of stop that and really step into this like empowering mindset where we're going to be the ones to show, to be the example, especially if we've got kids. Lead by example, show them that it's okay to step back, slow down, and give our body and ourselves what we need. And to please ourselves rather than just trying to please everybody else. because then we're obviously teaching this whole new generation that that's good to do. And stop believing that, you know, constantly pushing through is the only way to live. The body whispers before it shouts. And I sort of liken perimenopause to shouting. It's, you know, sometimes I can see, like, before we move into perimenopause, maybe the PMS phase of our cycles is when the body's whispering. For some, it might feel like a shout, but it's more like whispers, gives us clues, because that's the time in our cycles when, you know, both hormones are at their lowest. And if we're going to have lack of resilience, it's at any point in our cycle, it's going to be then, just before our period. And then when we step into perimenopause, that's usually when the body is actually starting to shout. And it's not because your body's trying to work against you, or it is going to start working against you just because you've moved into this, you know, daunting phase of perimenopause. It's just asking you to listen. So if you're listening today and you found yourself thinking, I finally feel like I resonate with that, or I sort of feel understood, then I really want you to know that you're not failing. It's not a weakness, and you're definitely not alone. We're all in this together. That's why I've created this podcast in the first place. But we do need to realize that our body's changing, not in a way that is, you know, it's breaking, it's failing. Just, it needs something different from us now than it did 10, 20 years ago, or even 3 years ago, 2 years ago for some of us, 5 years ago. And that can be one of the greatest opportunities that perimenopause offers us, you know, not simply to just survive it and ride the waves and just try and get out the other side. Because a lot of people say that as well. When you come out the other side, you'll feel great. We should try, and we don't want to just survive it and come out the other side, because it's a long ride. It'll be 10 years, more than that. So let's try and build a healthier relationship with our body than we've ever had before. One built on understanding it, you know, understanding and listening instead of being frustrated. Being curious instead of criticizing, what is this telling me? And rather than getting annoyed with how our body responds, like how exhausted we are after certain things, sit there and say, well, what is it trying to tell me? Okay, yesterday I pushed a bit too hard. I know that I shouldn't, you know, I can avoid that next time. I can. Compassion instead of trying to be perfect. Don't try and do loads of things at once that you've read that are going to be helpful. Just pick one and give, you know, be gentle on yourself. Your body's carried you so well this far. Now it's your turn to just listen to the feedback and give it what it needs, what it's been asking for. And of course, if you want my help, you can join me in the Midlife Thrive membership, where the Midlife Thrive community, where we get together, we talk about this all the time. We have the online community, the regular calls where we'll talk. You can ask questions. You can just sit back and listen to other people's questions, whatever works. So that is a great starting point, or it could be the point that all you need could be all you need. You can stay in the community for as little or as long as you want. You can stay for 3 months. You can stay for 3 years. That's just a monthly subscription. And if you want one-to-one support, which you can also do alongside Midlife Thrive, being in the community, my one-to-one support is all on my website. I'm now offering ad hoc initial consultation and follow-ups for existing clients. Follow-ups for existing clients only, but if you just want to book an initial consultation, that might be all you need. If you want to book a follow-up later on, you can also do that on an ad hoc basis. So check that out on my website. I'll also have the link in the show notes to that. So as always, if you've got any questions or ideas for future episodes, I'd love to hear from you. You can message me on Instagram, or you can get in touch via the website, and all the details will be in the show notes. So until next week, look after yourself, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode and you're wanting a bit more support, there's a few ways I can help you. You can take my free perimenopause quiz, join my Midlife Thrive membership, or if you enjoyed this episode and you're wanting a bit more details in the show notes, there's a few ways I can help you. You can take my free perimenopause quiz, join my Midlife Thrive membership. Thank you so much for being here. Or work with me one to one. It really means a lot. And I'll leave all the details in the show notes. And if this episode resonated, I'd love you to share it with someone who might need to hear it too. Thank you so much for being here. It really means a lot. And I'll see you in the next episode.